Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 17th day of August, Anno Domini 2019. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
That's the Ides plus two?
Yeah, the Ides plus two.
What's two in Latin?
Two. Well, they would think of it as two. Ah. They would probably say dual. all right. So
Conjugate.
That's right. All right. Before we get started with the news, I have announcements. Let us not forget that we're a couple of weeks out from the 30th anniversary party. Our actual anniversary date is the 3rd of September, but the closest Saturday is the 31st of August. So on August 31st, we will be having a 30th anniversary party right here at the station. It's from noon to 2 during the show, live. We'll be hanging around afterwards to chit-chat, but it's noon to 2. And we'll be serving light refreshments and cake. So you do need to RSVP so that we know how much cake to buy and stuff like that. So please RSVP and say you're coming to, and how many people, count at RSVP at jazz901.org. That number in Bayonne, RSVP at jazz901.org. And we hope to see you then. And we hope that when you do show up, you'll be wearing your limited edition 30th anniversary Soundbites t-shirt. That's right. We have t-shirts. And you can see them at wegottheshirts.com/Nick. wegottheshirts.com/Nick. And in fact, that's already, I think that's already there. Yeah, there it is. And you can see that, oh, you're right. There's no link. I'm an idiot. I'll figure it out. I'll get it done at the break. I don't want to take the time to do it now, but wegottheshirts.com/Nick and you'll see Nick's stuff. There's the 30th anniversary t-shirt, both in a regular t-shirt and a raglan sort of baseball kind of t-shirt. There's a couple for the tango, and then there's one for Mark Safe from Malware today. So again, about the tango. So order a shirt in any color except black. I told them no black, but yeah, Doesn't matter. Because if you wear a light colored t-shirt, we'll sign it during the 30th anniversary, which makes it far more valuable when you sell it on eBay.
About so, asphalt.
No. That's probably not the best color either.
We've got to find a white pen.
Something light enough to. I think I ordered mine in green, Kelly green, if that's Kelly.
Grass.
I ordered it in gray. All right, Kelly green was too dark. I ordered it in Kelly green, but you can get your limited edition to. When I say limited edition, I'm not kidding. After the 30th anniversary, it's gone. So this is your only chance to get that 30th anniversary shirt.
And they're reasonably priced.
And they are reasonably priced. I priced it as low as I possibly could because I felt 30 years of loyal listeners deserve a little something. Well, maybe I'll just up the price after the 30th anniversary. No one will ever buy it. That's an idea.
At $1 a year. Actually, yeah, they should be $30, $1 a year.
That's exactly it. $30. I'll change it right now.
Information we've provided.
Yeah, exactly. It's
over
well
30
worth
years.
That. It's well worth that. But at any rate, wegottheshirts.com/Nick, And you will find it. It's actually a link. You'll see all the shirts that are there, but they link you to Amazon. So you're actually buying it from Amazon. Amazon does the fulfillment, so they package it up and deliver it and everything else. Order soon, because it will take, it is a print on demand shirt, so it'll take a little bit, a little while for it to get to you, and you want to have it in time for the party. So definitely make sure that you've got your shirt in that you get it in plenty of time. So we would love to see you. So two things you have to do: RSVP at jazz901.org and buy your 30th anniversary deluxe lovely shirt. Well, it's just a regular shirt. So it's just the 30th anniversary regular shirt, and we'll be happy to sign it when you get here. But it's going to be a fun show. It's going to be interesting. We'll have all kinds of cool things going on. So please join us. We'd love to see you then. And while you're doing all that, we'll read the news. And of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Well, Frontier's in the news again. Frontier Communications customers are reporting more outages and longer repair times, and state government officials have decided to investigate. The New York Public Service Commission, or PSC, or NYPSC, or however you want to do it, the Public Service Commission, reported that several Frontier, and I quote, several Frontier Communications subsidiaries have significant service quality problems, including escalating complaint rates, lengthy repair durations, and localized network reliability issues. PSC staff is seeking more detailed information from Frontier on customer trouble reports, and will work with Frontier to develop and implement a plan to improve poor localized network reliability conditions. Frontier's problems go far beyond New York. Last week, Frontier reported lower revenue and a $5.45 billion goodwill impairment charge. Goodwill impairment charge, I believe, is corporate speak for we got dinged for something else. And it warned investors that its revenue will continue to decline in future quarters. Remember, we've said that no matter what you hear as a rumor, no matter what somebody tells you as a pundit, believe what the companies tell the investors. Because if you lie to the investors, you are in some fairly deep tapioca.
And the SEC's 10K filings.
And the SEC's 10K filing is really where you don't lie.
A lot of people find interesting things in that 10K filing.
Exactly right.
When you weed through all the legalese.
Right. It did warn investors that its revenue will continue to decline in future quarters. Frontier's employee count, as we sadly know here in Rochester, has also dropped from 21,000 to 19,000 in the past year. Frontier's website said it had invested nearly $540 million since 2011 in the New York network, allowing it to offer faster broadband speeds to approximately 85,000 New York households in the upgraded service areas. But Frontier's average internet download speeds in New York are just 7.4 megabits per second, by far the lowest of any major provider in the state. It's not unusual for old copper networks to offer slow internet speeds and poor reliability for both phone and internet access, but the PSC reports that Frontier's problems go beyond the norm. One standard the PSC uses to judge network quality is the percentage of central office entities or switches that have 5.5 or fewer customer trouble reports per 100 access lines per month. That isn't a hard standard to meet, as all but 8 of the 61 phone companies achieve the minimum service requirement in 100% of their measurement opportunities, the PSC said. 4 of the 8 that failed to do so were Frontier subsidiaries that the PSC is concerned about. Another measure is the number of annual complaints made directly to the PSC. Most complaints are made only to the companies themselves and not to the state government, so this rate tends to be very low. Only 7 of the 61 companies had any complaints made directly to the PSC during 2018, and 3 of those were Frontier subsidiaries. Frontier said it takes the PSC concerns very seriously and is committed to delivering quality service to the New York communities and customers we serve. We will review the report and respond to the commission in the appropriate forum. Now, I know you're going to have more to say about this because many of you are indeed Frontier customers. And it's easy enough to do. Just head on over to soundbites.org. That is Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Down on the lower, as you scroll down on the right, you'll see Fascinating Stuff. The first link under Fascinating Stuff is the forums. The first forum down is the show discussion. And the first item under the show discussion is 17 August 19. Frontier's getting worse. There are already four posts in there, so it would be great if you wanted to add your 2 or 10 or 40 cents to that, depending on your base. Then join us back here. And, of course, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And I believe that you've updated the post with an actual link to.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm an idiot, and I admit it. I've never denied it. So Steve has updated the.
Actually, I added another one. I probably should have updated yours.
No, you're just a little.
Oh, you added another. That's fine.
Busy,
too.
Even though you're retired.
Yeah, I am. Seems I'm busy.
Sounds like you're a little more less free time than when you were working.
How do you have less free time than being retired? I don't know, but
you're doing a darn good job.
Thank you very much. I am doing a darn good job. I don't see it here. Why do I not see it?
I don't know. I didn't see it either when I just got in there. But it said it added it.
But we'll get there. Yeah. And again, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Excuse me. I beg your pardon. That was
hairball?
Hairball. I don't even want to talk about hairballs. Well, I have a cat.
Yeah. Back to
Frontier. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Back to Frontier a second. Because Frontier is a local company, a lot of people don't realize that they do offer service across the country. They have been purchasing a lot of landline companies that used to be Verizon and some of the other landline carriers who are getting out of landline business because mobile is where the money is.
They're getting out of it. And Frontier's getting into it as millennials and newer, whatever they're called.
Yeah, post-millennial.
Post-millennials don't buy landlines ever.
Yeah.
Most homes, you can ask folks, don't have a home phone anymore.
Right.
They've done away with them.
Right, right.
And so they're having a hard time keeping customers or having a hard time growing their revenue? Really?
Well, DSL is forget it. I mean,
yeah, DSL is so much slower. I just saw a TV commercial for a new satellite internet company coming online, and they're going to give you 25 megabit.
Ooh,
yeah, that's
well.
What
but
I
you
thought.
Know what?
But if all you can get is DSL, so that's the part of the problem. In a lot of the rural areas, all you can get is telephone DSL.
Right. Yeah.
And satellite traditionally has been too expensive and not much faster anyway.
Right.
So it's the new HughesNet service. As they're getting faster services, better satellite coverage, and lower prices, now satellite's becoming a viable alternative
for the mm-hmm. for the places that can't get.
Yeah.
You know,
we had a customer, a couple that were they both retired and they got a motorhome and were driving around the country. He had a satellite dish on the motorhome.
Yeah.
For internet service. He said he could drive 2 or 3 hours before he had to stop and re-aim the dish so his wife could stay on the internet.
That's love. That's definitely love.
Because otherwise she'd be nagging him. What did you turn it there for? What are you going so slow for? What are you doing this for?
Just keep driving straight, honey.
Yeah.
All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark. What's up?
Hey, guys. You know, other than funds, what is Frontier's fear of fiber?
They don't have it.
They purchased a ton of fiber from Verizon, and they started cutting back on it.
Well, that's a lovely question, and I don't have the answer to that. I suspect fiber is more expensive to run. But why would it be? No, hold on. Fiber's got to be cheaper to run. Well, I suppose the nodes are more expensive.
Yeah. Well, I would think so, as compared to copper.
Well, the big problem used to be that fiber didn't bend very well.
Right.
But Corning has got some amazing new fiber that
Yeah.
In fact, they have a demo down at their museum in Corning. They have like a mile of fiber wound up in like a spool on the desk, and you shine a light on, and it comes out the other end.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. I agree with you, Mark. I don't know why they don't do fiber.
I mean, they got into to files, and then they started cutting back on it. And then, now I heard we have another fiber optic company trying to set up a network now.
We have Greenlight.
Besides Greenlight, yeah.
I heard there was another one. I don't know what the name is.
There's one called FiberTech. They are mostly targeting businesses. We have several of our customers are using it. And it's more expensive and slower than Greenlight. So, but they have more. They have a more guaranteed uptime commitment. What's that term for that businesses need the guaranteed uptime?
Five nines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I heard just recently that they were planning on now expanding into the home market.
Oh, that would be interesting. I will say this. Oh, I've had Greenlight since 2015. And it's gone out, I want to say, three times. Once was a backhoe, took out a thing. Another was a lightning strike that took out our whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right, and I don't remember what the third one was. And then just recently I had a whole lot of trouble with it, but it wasn't them. I had screwed around with my router and...
No, that's a no-no.
That's entirely on me. And I was angry, and I didn't know what was going on. And then I suddenly realized, you know what? I bet it was me. And it was. When I put it all back, it was all fine.
If they seriously want to be competition for, say, not even Greenlight, but for cable, like Spectrum, bringing that Fios in would be a hell of a move, and I think a lot of people would go to it, especially if they had a good introductory rate. You know, people are always switching for introductory rates.
Right.
And part of the problem is the cell phone companies are pushing cellular internet. For a while it was 4G. Now everyone's talking about 5G, even though it's going to be a couple of years before that's widely available.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and it works anyway. And it's the 5G broadband is more like Wi-Fi, so you're going to need a 5G router every couple hundred feet.
Yep.
With current 4G cell towers, it's every couple miles.
Yep.
So it's going to be ridiculous.
Well, it's kind of like the 5 gigahertz on our routers, you know?
Exactly. Faster speed.
With 5G, you know, yep. whatever
right.
that is. And the 4 gigahertz is, you know, covers the whole house.
Well, the 2.4 gigahertz is crowded, which is why the routers started doing 5 gigahertz.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 gigahertz is less crowded, but it doesn't go through walls as well. 2.4 gigahertz...
And it has less distance,
yeah. 2.4 gigahertz is more crowded, and it doesn't go through metal as much. So if you have a kitchen in the way, that can be a problem. Your microwave oven is 2.4 gigahertz. And so every time you turn the microwave on, you're going to slow down your internet service.
I love my 5 gigahertz.
It's the junk band.
It covers my whole house. I got a side split, and the router's right in the middle of the house upstairs. And the 5 gigahertz covers pretty much everything. You may lose a bar when you go down to the bottom bedrooms.
Right,
that's
right.
about it.
Well, and that's just it, Mark.
Fast.
If you do a good site survey, which not everyone can do, or you just reasonably think about the way your house is laid out, which not everyone does, you can pretty well cover a decent sized house with 5G, but a lot of people, a friend of mine, for example, his office, his home office is in one corner of the house, and that's where he put his router. Well,
and
guess what? Half the house can't get at his signal, but the neighbors are all good.
And that's often the problem, because when they run the cable or fiber or whatever it is into your house, they want to go into an outside wall. And so that's where your router usually ends up going.
Yeah, they wanted to put mine in my laundry room at the end of the house, and I'm going, I don't want my router there. I want my main computer to be hardwired. And I said, how good is the signal going to do going through all that plenum?
Right.
That's in that laundry room.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I don't want that, you know, and they gave me a hard time. But, you know, I was a new customer. I was paying for install. Install it.
Yeah,
that's the way to do it. You did the right thing.
Or let them put the main, junction box there, and then run an Ethernet to where you want to go, and put your wireless router in the middle of the house.
Yeah.
you know, that's what we did. We had ours come in, you know, on the side of the house, and then from there we wound up running a Cat 5 cable and into the center of the house.
Yep.
And I mean, our you know, as far as wireless is fantastic. And then I just put a booster upstairs on the second floor, because with my house, like Nick's, you know, it's got the chicken wire in the walls.
Yep.
Because the house was built in 1928, lath and plaster. But I mean, I get great coverage. I can sit out on the front porch, or, you know, upstairs all the way up into the attic.
Yep. And it just depends on how, first, how good your router is, and second, where your router is.
Yeah.
And if people are smart and they're having a hard time with their wireless, invest in the Google router.
Yeah, the new mesh networks from Google and Eero and the other companies, they tend to work better because they're designed to have a satellite router. Before there was mesh, there was the wireless distribution system, the WDS, where you would have a repeater, and that often didn't work well. And I've run into a lot of people where their repeater has a different wireless name than their main wireless, and that doesn't make any sense, because then you have to manually switch between them. But with the mesh network, they all talk to each other much better. So you have your main router where your internet service comes in, and you can easily put mesh routers around the house. They're, you know, typically $100 each, so they're not as cheap as the no name wireless routers. But you usually don't want those no name wireless routers anyway.
You really don't. And for somebody like us, like Dave and I, when we have rooms that get zero internet service because they're covered in chicken wire, you can put one mesh outside the room getting a good signal, and then put another one in the room getting a signal through the door.
Yeah.
And you now have internet access in that room, which you didn't have before. And I can even put one at one end of the house and then put another one out in the garage and cover my backyard. So it's really a lovely thing.
I mean, I think it's well worth the money, because I installed one for my sister, who's got a house from down in Shalott.
Yeah.
And it works beautiful. She was so happy. She goes, "It's the best money I've ever spent."
Yep.
You know, because now she can use her smart TV, and you know, she got three smart TVs, and it wasn't working up in her bedroom.
Yeah.
And now it does.
Yeah, same
and
with
she
it.
She loves it.
I use the Roku. I've got the Roku on the three TVs, and it's all wireless.
Yep.
And it covers, you know, one's up in the bedroom, one's in the den, and one's in the living room. And, I mean, it works fantastic. The only thing I got to say is, like on my cell phone, I can be sitting in my office. That's a dead spot sometimes. I have to move out into the kitchen, then people can hear me. Because otherwise, in that office area, I think there's so much chicken wire and all that in that area.
Right.
The signals pop in and out, but it's goofy. And you got to, like you said, Mark, you got to take the time and patience to set it all up.
Yep, because the placement of that router, a lot of times, is going to be your key, you know.
Yep. All right,
thanks.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 29 minutes after the hour. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And
man,
I'm
he's
Steve
got
Wright.
That music.
He's got
because we're rocking that Casbah.
That's right. And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And we have Joanne from Greece, New York on the line. No, we apparently do not. Sorry. Don't know what happened to Joanne. Please call back, Joanne. And we'll see what happened there. Stuff happens.
Try it again.
Dang it.
Hold on.
Stuff
and nonsense happens. Joanne, are you there?
I am. I'm wondering how I would access my router settings using a Chromebook.
Depends on your router. Generally speaking, most routers are at Let's say your addresses are 192.168.1.something, right?
Mm-hmm.
For each of your systems. So your router would be at 192.168.1. either 0 or 1, depending on the type of router you have. Most routers, when you go to that address in the browser, end up being showing you a web page. It actually has a tiny little web server in there that will let you log in, and your login address would be in the documentation for your router. And then you can do all kinds of stuff in your router.
Question for you, Joanne. Do you have Spectrum?
I do.
All right. And you have their router?
No.
Okay, because with them, because that's what I have, and I've been using it a lot lately, it's 192.168.0.1.
And they typically will put the login credentials printed on the router.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, okay. All right, good to know. But in the Chromebook, am I just going to like a Google?
Just a web browser, web browser. So okay. The Chromebook, of course, essentially is a web browser, so you're good.
And do it up at the top, not in the search. You want to go up to the top where it's HTTP. You just put in the 192.168.0, say, .1, and you hit enter. You're not searching for anything, so you don't want to use the Google search part.
Okay. Right.
But if you've got your own router, you need to use the address of that.
Gotcha.
So now, how do you see what your IP range is?
Hold on a second.
Okay.
What was my finishing? The first, if you've never gone into your router before?
I think initially when I set it up, probably 6-7 years ago.
Okay, I hope at that point you changed your password.
I did.
Good. Okay, that's the important thing.
And do you remember what you changed it to?
Yeah.
Okay, that's even better.
All right, she's 2 for 2.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right,
thanks, guys.
Sure, thank you.
Let us know how you make out.
Okay, thanks.
And then you can see what your computer's IP address is and what is sometimes called the gateway or the router address to get to. On the Mac, it's in System Preferences under Network, and on the Chrome.
On the Chromebook, if you go up to the top right where those three dots are, the three vertical dots, and select Settings.
Yep.
One of the settings choices is Wi-Fi, and you'll see what your Wi-Fi is. Click on that, and it'll give you the various Wi-Fi networks that are available. Click on the one you're connected to again, and on that next page, it will show you your IP address. So if it's 192.168.1.15, then your router will either be at 192.168.1.0 or 1.
See, I went down in the lower right-hand corner, clicked on that little wheel.
Same thing.
Clicked on that. It showed my network. It said ENET. So I clicked on that, and then, boom, showed me the IP address.
Yep. Both of those get you to the same place.
Yeah. Yep.
So either way works.
Right. Great ways to get in there, folks, and try
it's
either.
A nice thing about the Chromebook, you can do many things multiple ways.
And with an Apple router, they have a separate app called the Airport Utility that is in your Mac, or you can download it on your iPhone or iPad. They used to have a Windows version, but they haven't updated it in a while. So the Apple router works fine with a Windows computer, but to administer it, you need an Apple device.
And on Windows, if you open up a terminal window, a command line window, you can type ipconfig, all one word. And if you're on a Linux box, it's ifconfig, all one word. And all of those are the ways that you can see your IP address and get to your router. Once you're at your router, bookmark it so you can go back again.
Yeah, that's what I was just going
to
say.
You don't have to look it up again.
Save it as a favorite, and then that way you can have it automatically. Well, with Chrome, you can have it save the password and everything else. And
right.
Just go to it, boom, and you're in.
Right.
Because unlike so many other folks, don't bother to write that down. They got to go through the hassle of getting it reset.
Or their ISP sets it up for them and doesn't give them any of that information.
Yeah. Whenever we used to do it, we would sit there and, of course, change the net name and the password. And then we'd print it off and tape it to the bottom of the router.
Right. You should definitely change. Look, when you get a new router, the first thing you should do is change the network name. the admin password. You may not be able to change the admin login. It's usually admin.
That's
but
fine.
You can change the you can change the password to something fairly long because everybody knows that the username is admin. So change the password to something completely long.
And again, use the what we say as far as the practice of, you know, mix it up.
Yep.
Use letters and numbers and punctuation.
Well, if you're following our recommendation to use some sort of password manager, they can generate passwords.
There you go.
I've set mine to 26 characters right now. Well, and you think to yourself, who can remember 26 characters? Well,
you don't have to.
The software can. Yes. That's the point.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. You can sit there and have complex ones that, you know, no way in heck are they ever going to even come close.
There have been interesting reports on Security Now where they talk about the long passwords, where people have written in and saying, I tried to set up a long password at my bank and they wouldn't accept more than 10 characters.
Yeah, I've run into that a couple spots where they matter of fact, one website limited me to 8.
Yes.
There's a COBOL back end that only has an 8-character field.
And they've
field
never
open.
Changed it since the 60s.
Seriously?
Yep. I've got a couple of sites like that, too. I use them less and less and less.
Well, no, what I do there is I just mix it up really goofy. You know, I'll use a short word and a bunch of punctuation and numbers and upper and lower case.
Yep, that's some the way to do it.
Some of the sites won't let you use punctuation.
Right.
And most sites want you to because it's more secure. It's like extended the alphabet.
Yeah.
If someone knows your password is only lowercase letters, there's only 26 possibilities.
Right.
If you put in uppercase, now you got 52. You
and
put it
upper and lower.
Upper case. And lower, yeah. Then you put in the common symbols, now you got 65.
Yep.
And and you put in some of the uncommon symbols.
Anything to up your chances of making it so folks can't break into it.
We've upped ours, up yours.
Yeah. Our new phrase. Up yours.
We've upped ours. Up yours. All right. So let's head to the news, shall we? The Federal Aviation Authority has banned certain models of 15-inch MacBook Pros from flights due to previously disclosed battery risk. It's important to stress that not every MacBook Pro is affected, but models sold between mid-2015 to February 2017 are impacted. These are the same Macs Apple issued a voluntary recall for earlier this year, warning they may contain a battery that may overheat and pose a fire safety risk. As part of the recall, Apple is offering free battery replacements for these models. You can check to see if your Mac is part of this recall on an Apple support page. Which I've got, Steve is already way ahead of me, putting that up there. If you are traveling, so that will be on our website in about a minute, and you'll be able to see if your Mac is part of that. If you're traveling with a MacBook Pro, you should check if it is prescribed before you travel. An FAA statement on recalled batteries states lithium batteries recalled by the manufacturer or vendor must not be carried aboard aircraft or packed in baggage. Battery-powered devices recalled because of lithium battery safety concerns also should not be carried aboard aircraft or packed in baggage unless the device or its batteries have been replaced, repaired, or otherwise made safe per manufacturer vendor instructions. The FAA and your airline may offer further public guidance on individual recalled products. Apple isn't the first company to see products banned on strength of battery problems. Perhaps one of the most widely reported incidents widely reported recent incidents in 2013 saw a flagship Samsung smartphone, the Galaxy Note 7, Flamin' Dave Enright knows all about those, banned from flights following widely reported explosions that took place before the product even shipped in great quantities. Apple always investigates such reports and usually engages in restorative action, such as the launch of its adapter replacement scheme in 2013, in which it encouraged device users with third-party adapters to claim discounted by $10 replacements from Apple. So is your Mac on the list? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
As a quick test, you can go to your Apple menu and choose About This Mac. And if it says you have a MacBook Pro 15-inch mid-2015, then your computer may be eligible. And then on Apple's website, you can paste your serial number in, which will conveniently find in that About This Mac screen to see if your specific model is eligible. My concern is how are you going to prove to the airline that you did have it fixed? So if you do get it fixed, keep a copy of your proof of repair
right.
in your laptop bag. So when they try to ban it, you can say, no, here it was repaired.
Right. You really have to do that. And if you are planning on traveling with a MacBook, please make sure, because otherwise you're going to have to leave it at the airport. You'll never see it again. It just goes in the bin. Yeah, exactly. So absolutely, check before you fly with a MacBook that it is not one of the proscribed MacBooks. If you've had it repaired, keep that receipt or get another one from whoever repaired it. And keep that with the laptop so that you can prove you had that laptop replaced, the battery replaced.
Mm-hmm. Save you a lot of hassles and headaches.
Yeah. And you may not notice anything wrong with your battery. So don't wait until there is a problem. Get it fixed before. Right now, the big problem is it can take 1 to 2 weeks for the repair. It has to get mailed into Apple. They sent us these new shipping boxes with a special...
Liner.
Yep. And it has to go ground. It can't go air.
Yeah, well, of course it can't go air.
So it's ground. So it's 2 days there, about a week to fix it, and 2 days back. So get it done early before everyone else gets in the queue to delay it even longer.
Exactly.
Can
right.
they ship it back though to you? Via air.
They probably could, but they probably won't.
Yeah, on the way back it can be air. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember the ones we've done, if they've come air or ground. I have to look. So we have to order an empty box. When we ship one out, we order an empty box to replace it with. And so they ship us an empty box. That comes by air.
Yeah.
And then we put the computer in it, have to change all the labels on it so it can go out by ground and have the right battery warning labels on it. It's a UN 3481 battery contained in equipment.
There you go.
We had to take a battery safety test. We had to know all the difference between the lithium batteries, the lithium metal, lithium ion, how much lithium in each battery counts as to how much...
Total charge?
The total weight of lithium.
Sure.
So if you have less than 1 gram of lithium in like a coin cell battery, it doesn't have to be labeled. But then if you put a whole bunch of those in a single box, so the total is more than 5 kilos, it has to be labeled differently.
5 kilos? That's 10.5... That's 10, 11 pounds.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Which is a lot of lithium.
That's a lot of battery.
Typically, that would be the battery company, shipping back a whole bunch of batteries.
Yeah. But that's still a boatload of batteries.
Yeah,
especially if they're the wafer ones.
Yeah.
Right. You ship 11 pounds of battery to someone hoping it blows up in their face. Maybe that's
the cargo
new murder mystery. I didn't know it would blow up the
cargo trucks have now special probably steel reinforced cargo containers just in case there's a breach, but we've been trying to find some place that will accept lithium batteries for recycling. Batteries Plus down in Jefferson Road, they'll take them if they're not already swollen.
Right.
But when they're swollen, they're defective, and we haven't found any place that will take a known swollen battery.
So what do you do with them?
Ship them back to Apple.
Well, yeah, there are companies that you can pay to haul them away.
There you go.
Could you put them in a box and ground them back to Apple?
They'd probably refuse it and send it back to you.
Well, they're bad. I wouldn't put a return return label. You're getting rid of it. You're not going to get any money for it.
Well, unfortunately, if you're shipping at UPS, they know it's where it came from.
So you have to have a hazardous waste recycling center. Even the regular recycling companies, they often draw the line at lithium batteries, good or bad, but a known bad battery is one of the problems.
Right.
So we found some places online where you basically get a barrel and you fill it up and send it back, and it's several hundred dollars.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. If they're hazardous material, you're gonna pay for that.
Yep.
Well, and they tell you don't throw away batteries, don't drop them in the trash.
Yeah, any type of battery is hazardous material that needs to be disposed of properly.
Right.
So it is kind of neat that there are several companies that do accept used batteries as long as they're not swollen and breached.
Right. All right, to the phones. We have Bill from Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Bill. What's up?
Hi, Nick. It's Bill. I have a question. I'm trying to help my wife embrace a Chromebook that's fairly new to her.
Good for you. Good for her.
She has also RoboForm, and she has two Google addresses. And we're having trouble with using RoboForm in some instances. It's coming up and saying you need to update to a different browser.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You've installed the RoboForm extension from the Google Play Store?
No, I think I took it direct. I did see that note, though.
Yeah.
So you may have to do that.
You need to start there, I believe.
Although RoboForm does have a direct download.
Yeah, but I don't...
That's probably for the Chrome browser, not the Chromebook browser.
Right. So start by downloading the RoboForm extension for Chrome. And that should do what you need to do. Are you using it for passwords?
Yes.
Yeah, there is a... Well, that's... No, that's for your... So try that. Start with the... It doesn't integrate directly on a Chromebook. You need, I believe, it requires that plug-in to the Chrome browser.
Okay. All right. Because there's all kinds of problems with it, with hers, and mine, of course, works perfectly, and you can understand.
What version of the Chromebook do you have? Maybe the Chrome OS needs updated on one of them?
I don't think so. You know us, guys.
Yeah. But I don't know what version of your Chromebook you have.
Hers is the newest one. I think it's not more than 7 months old.
In that case, if it's a new one, it will run Android apps.
Right.
So you might try the RoboForm password manager from the apps on Google Play.
Okay.
Right, so if you should be able to go in your Chromebook to Google Play, and download apps from Google Play, and they will run on your Chromebook. That should, if the other one doesn't work, that one should.
Okay,
so it's pretty much a standalone product.
Kill what I've got on her computer and bring it back up with her all her information and those other two.
Yeah, give one of those a try. If it doesn't work, try the other one.
Start with the extension.
Yeah, start with the extension.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. We had lots of fun with it last night.
I bet.
Trying to figure out what was wrong, because only some things didn't work. And actually, I tried one of the things, which is a log on to Kohl's website, credit card, and on my regular Windows 10 machine, and it told me the same thing. Update your browser.
Really?
So I was wondering, you know, because of that, I thought maybe it's a problem with that particular website. They haven't updated something, or
you're gonna hit, and that's the other part of the problem, isn't it? It's not just your end; it's the other end as well. I've seen that in some places. Some things work great everywhere except one or two sites. You have to think it's those sites,
right? So you're relegated to guessing, though.
I agree, and that's horrible, but it is what it is. You know, it's that sometimes happens that way.
Yeah, trying to eliminate things as I go along, and I called you guys for help. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good luck.
Yeah, have a good one. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, one of the things that we are constantly bemoaning is the fact that there are so many pieces and parts between you and the other end, that the issue could be anywhere. excuse me. Like I said, when I was having problems with my system, it was because I had changed a DNS setting, which should have worked great, but apparently I added 1.1.1.1, which is the cloud DNS site, which had been working great, but then they got hit with a denial of service attack over like a week and a half.
Yeah.
And so it was constantly coming back with either wrong information or no information, and I couldn't get anywhere. I couldn't do anything, and so I eventually said, you know what? Why don't I just get rid of that? See what happens, and went back to just the two Google ones: 8.8.8.8 and 8.8.4.4. And they both work perfectly, and my network is back up and great, and it's great. So there's Quad 1, which is 1.1.1.1. There's Quad 9, Quad 8, and Dual 8, Dual 4, I guess is what they're calling it. But
yeah, Quad 9 is IBM.
Right.
Quad 1 is Cloudflare.
Right. So but I'm not putting either one in anymore because it's working now, and I just want it to work.
Yep.
More importantly, my wife just wants it to work. How come I can't get on the Roku?
That's more important.
Yeah.
We have seen several computers. In fact, we had one today. There's a malware that installs a malicious proxy server. So it puts a proxy host in your settings. And then all of your internet traffic goes through this proxy. And so the first effect is
that's essentially the way VPNs work.
Right. And this is a malicious program that that you accidentally install from a malicious website. And what happens is the first effect is it slows you down. And then when that bad guy either gets caught or stops doing it, you can't get to web pages or you can't get your email because that proxy server is gone. So your computer is trying to talk to a server that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
It will eventually give up, but no one waits for that eventually.
Right. Yeah. All right. That music tells us that we've all wasted an hour of our lives with this nonsense. But, do not fret, because we're only halfway through this, Megillah. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more of Dave Enright, Too Much of Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It is 15 minutes after the hour. I insult Steve every week, and usually he's just very quiet about it, and this week he took a swat at me. And we'll be back in just a few minutes with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. This is Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported, award-winning Jazz 90.1. Take a quick bio break. We'll see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Hi there, I'm Nick Francesco, the host of Soundbites on Jazz 90.1. We're celebrating 30 years on the air in Rochester, and we'd love to see you for a live broadcast and party on Saturday, August 31st. Join us from noon till 2 and see the show broadcast live, enjoy refreshments and a celebration, and get your computer questions answered live. The event is free, but you must RSVP. Send an email to rsvp@jazz901.org and let us know you're coming. We can't wait to see you on August 31st.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. You're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported, award-winning Jazz 90.1. Now, before we get deep into the show, remember, you can, of course, give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Now, we are heading into our 30th anniversary. closing out our 30th year and having an anniversary party. And that will happen on the 31st of August, a few days before the actual anniversary, but it's the closest Saturday. So we would love for you to join us. It'll be here at the station from noon to 2. We'll have some refreshments and some cake. So in order that we know how much of that stuff to have, we would love to have you RSVP so that we know how much to buy. And you do that by simply sending an email to RSVP at jazz901.org and tell us how many people are coming in your party. Bring all you want. Yeah, bring 50 of them, but let us know ahead of time. That's important. And hey, have we got a deal for you? We have the limited edition 30th anniversary t-shirts. That's right. We have 30th anniversary t-shirts. They are listed on our website at soundbites.org. That is bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. You can purchase them. You can purchase one for yourself. Order it soon because it is print on demand. So it will take a while for Amazon to actually get it to you. It's from Amazon, so it's a pretty trustworthy thing.
Yeah.
And you can see it there. WeGotTheShirts.com/Nick. And you'll see all my shirts there, including the Soundbites limited edition 30th anniversary shirt in multiple sizes for men, women, and children. And my suggestion is you order them very soon because it does take a while for them to come. If you've got Prime, they ship it by Prime. They still have to print it, so it's not going to come in a day. You need to order a little bit ahead of time. And if you buy one of the lighter color shirts, we'll sign it during the party, or just after the party. We'll be on the air during the party. We'd love to see you. We'd love to see you in one of your shirts. I'd love to get a great picture of 40 or 50 people in the
shirts. That would be cool.
That would be so cool. So please, we want to see you at the party, whatever you're wearing. But if you wear one of the shirts, we'd like to get pictures with you.
And please wear something.
Please wear something.
Yeah.
But we would like to get pictures with you in the shirt. So RSVP at jazz901.org and wegottheshirts.com/Nick. It's we got the shirts, not we've got the shirts. That would be too grammatically correct. Wegottheshirts.com/Nick. And of course, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And I'll make a deal with you. I'll read the news while you're buying your shirt. Microsoft has focused its Windows 10 attention on upgrading hundreds of millions of machines before they lose rights to security updates in 3 months. There we go again. No, I'm always going to get security updates. I'm getting them all the time. Okay.
Well, there's still time for Microsoft to change their mind.
That's exactly right. The likeliest explanation for the changes to Microsoft's installation numbers, 1903 is up, 1803 is down, 1809 is flat, was Microsoft's July 16th announcement that it has started forcible upgrades for customers with devices that are at or nearing the end of service and have not yet updated devices. Windows 1803 is the only version that meets that at or nearing end of service requirement. It is to fall off the support list on November 12th. That's right, on November 12th, you stop getting support for Windows version 1803. Managed PCs can be upgraded to a version other than 1903, but those that have been left for Microsoft to service, that's every consumer system and many small or even mid-sized business devices, now running 1803 will be pushed onto 1903 because of an April upheaval to Windows 10's upgrade model. It was then that Microsoft had said it would add a download and install now option to Windows 10 Home and Windows 10 Pro for the first time, giving users control of Home, rather, control over when they moved to a newer version of the operating system. But to maintain a secure ecosystem, Microsoft reserved the right to intervene when an upgrade support lifecycle came to an end. Users are being warned that Windows 10 Pro 1803 is getting close to end of support, and that it's ready to upgrade to 1903 at the user's discretion. If the user doesn't pull the trigger, Microsoft will. I don't really need to say more about that. You can do it yourself. From the Start button, select Settings, then System, then About, then Device Specifications, then Windows Specifications, that'll tell you what version of Windows you're on. So are you running 1803 and are you ready for a forced upgrade? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Just like Mike did from Henrietta, New York. Hiya, Mike. What's up?
Hey, I just don't know if you guys read, it's on the Drudge Report. I just saw that there was from the English paper, The Sun, about Google announced billions of passwords with a B were compromised. And first of all, I didn't know it was fake news where they had the right logo and all this kind of stuff. But going through the story that gave you the background and what's happened. But at any rate, at the end of it, then they wanted you to subscribe to, and it was called 1Password, and then the two step notifications, which, you know, I think Yahoo uses anyway. And then at the end of it, it's, I got the word subscribe to something else, and I just quit. And gave you a call because I thought maybe if you had LastPass, if that LastPass is just a password, sort of an archive, isn't it? That wouldn't help protect you with being pawned, as they say. I don't think.
No, none of that protects you.
But what it does do, LastPass, 1Password, KeePass, they're all password managers. They let you generate different passwords for every website. So when one site gets compromised, it doesn't affect your other sites because you use different passwords everywhere else.
Yeah, they have an app that I just tried it that puts on your desktop. Google's got a pop-up, I guess, that's a you. They can cross-reference billions of things at 1 second, but
right.
If you get on a site and then you get this little red pop-up flag, it said, this site's been compromised, so change your password. So yep. I guess Google does yep. it, I guess, as a favor to their friends.
Yes.
I don't know why. What you would they want you to subscribe to password, like or 1Password, like LastPass. Does that sound right?
They all do it.
Well, hold on. Yeah. Let's not conflate The Sun and Google. I don't believe Google wants you to. Well, Google would prefer if you used a password manager. Everybody should use a password manager.
Google would probably prefer you use their password manager.
Right. But if you go to the site of The Sun and it's trying to sell you something, that's between you and The Sun as to whether you buy it.
No, this was a link on a story that they had interviewed right. somebody who was supposed to be an expert and said if you want to check this app, you check on the link. So I put mine in there and put my password in, and I was, I guess, compromised in three places. I think Houzz, well, you know, that one thing you called. I called them one time to see if they had
yeah.
what something
site,
per se.
Hold on. What site did you put your username and password in?
Let me see. If the story was, there was just a link that came up.
Let me suggest you immediately change the password to whatever site you put in there. Because I don't know what you put in and who you just gave your password to. Do you?
Well, yeah, it was part of the story.
That doesn't mean anything. That really doesn't mean anything. Do you know who you gave your password to?
I'll have to look because it's on this phone. I'll have
the
to
answer
back.
Is no. And so you need to change that password immediately.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what I thought. I didn't know if this was legit with fake news and everything.
There is a website called Have I Been Pwned where you put your address, your email address in.
But not your password.
Right. That was an email address, not the password. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Then it may have been haveyoubeenpwned.com. And that is legit. If you didn't put your password in, then it's probably a legit site. But if it asked you for your password, change that password immediately. And I hope you don't use the same password on more than one site. But
no,
if you
I
do...
Yeah, I took your advice a long time ago. I have a book because LastPass was too... I was too lazy, so I just keep a book handy. You know?
Well, whatever works for you, as long as you've got those passwords kept.
Okay, I just was checking to see if you thought that was legit because they had the logo for the United Sun, you know, the UK, they come up with some of these bizarre stories a lot of times with, cigars flying over Washington. They think it's a UFO and stuff
So, but it depends on where they sent you to. If it was just, you know, Joe Blow's password link, then that would be really bad.
But right. It was. I was like pawned and then put my email in it. Yeah, not the password. My mistake.
Yeah.
Okay, it sounds legit to me. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Now, Have I Been Pwned does have a link where you can put in an old password, and then it checks it locally. to see if that password has been breached, because they have a list of 500 million breached passwords. Try one of your old passwords. Again, we don't really recommend you putting in a password you currently use, even though Troy Hunt, who runs this website, is trustworthy, and he's probably not going to do anything with it.
Right.
You want to do that. Pretty much all the password managers will warn you if you use the same password on multiple sites. And many of the password managers are now linking in to Have I Been Pwned, so that when some site does get pwned, that will warn you. In fact, you can put your email address in there in the Notify Me link. And I just got notified a week or two ago. Cafe Press, where I used to get my T-shirts done,
right?
They had a massive leak, and my password there was leaked. And so now what that happens is that there are, what are we up to now? 8.5 billion pwned accounts, 500 million pwned passwords. And so the bad guys are now sending email around saying, here's your email address. Here's your password, because it's been leaked. I can get into your account. Pay me a ransom.
Right.
And they're probably lying. They're just trying to scare you. But they have your email address and password because they have been leaked from some company.
And if you get one of those, change your password.
And also, never use the same password on multiple sites.
Right. If you're using Chrome, and I should probably look up Firefox too, but if you're using Chrome, there is an extension from Google called Password Checkup Extension. And if you add that to Chrome, it will do that pop-up thing for you that says, oh, yeah, this has been compromised. You should change that.
And on the Mac, if you go into Safari and Preferences under Passwords, you put in your password so you can see passwords. It will tell you if there'll be a little yellow exclamation point next to sites you use the same password on.
Right, and you should never, never use passwords twice.
One of the annoying things that I run into is Apple has multiple different domains for different services at Apple. So there's like iCloud, right. Apple, and there's you know, Mail Apple. And my password manager warns me that I'm using the same password for those different sites.
Right, even
because
though
they're all Apple.
Right.
But they're different sites at
right.
Apple.
They're yeah. subdomains.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Greece, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Hi. I got a question on Ubuntu system. I have music on my computer. I'm trying to rip it onto a CD. Do I need additional software or some kind of app to do that?
Well, now, hold on a second. Are you trying to put it on a CD or take it off a CD?
I've got a blank CD. I want to try to put it on a
that. Yeah, that's usually called burning.
But that's okay.
I thought it was called ripping.
Ripping is when you take it off the CD. You're ripping it off. Burning, okay. Yeah. Well, burning is the laser actually burns the disc. So that's where that came out.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So I want to burn a CD. What do I need to do?
You're in luck. Ubuntu has, well, a lot of programs that will do that, but there are a number of ways to do it. One of the more well-known programs is called Brasero, Brasero, and you'll get basically
GNOME.
Yeah, GNOME. It's in your
It's in your
repository. So what you want to do is you know, the way you normally load software, you can find Brasero and load it.
Right. Okay. I think I've got it in here, but it's not loaded. So let me just check.
Well, the point is, hold on. The point is, once you do that, you just start Brasero. Right, and then you load up the songs in it. You could now you got to make a choice. You're going to make either an audio product, an audio project. They call them projects. You're going to make an audio project, which creates a traditional audio CD that can be played in any CD player
with a 72-minute limit.
or you're going to make a data project, which just essentially copies a whole bunch of MP3s over to a DVD, or CD rather, but you have to have a CD player that will play MP3 files. So you have to make that decision.
Okay.
But once you do that, you click on either audio project or data project. And there are other projects you can do, but we're not going to worry about those now. So it's either going to be an audio product or a project or a data project. And let's say you're making an audio project, so it's just a regular CD that you could give to anybody to play in any CD player. Right.
Right. Just a regular, there would be an audio project possibly, or?
Yeah. If it's just a regular CD, just then it's an audio CD, project.
Yep. Okay.
Then it's just a regular project. And what you do is you pick, well, now you follow the bouncing ball, but basically what you're going to do is pick the songs you want to copy onto the CD, and then hit the little button. You probably have to pick your CD player if you've got more than one, and then you hit the button that says go, and it go. It burn. It says burn, and then it burns.
Okay, as simple as that.
It really is ridiculously easy. Bracero makes it all very simple, very easy, and you should have no trouble. Now, when it's done, it's then going to finish the CD, so wait.
Sometimes it's called finalize.
Right, finalize or finish the CD.
Verifies.
Right, and it verifies it, and it does. So it does a whole bunch of stuff. It takes longer than you think because it really writes to it. Then it verifies that it wrote correctly. Then it closes up the CD, and then you can have it back.
Yeah, so you should see it thinking in some way.
Yeah, it'll tell you all of those things, and you get a bar.
Some of them will even spit it out once it's finally done.
And this will too.
Right.
So yeah, just wait for it to spit it out.
Yeah, just wait.
Well, I was doing it with my Windows pretty, no problem. But this Ubuntu, I couldn't quite figure that out. So.
Yeah. No, I get it. But you shouldn't have a problem once you get to the point where you're just following the bouncing ball.
Sounds pretty straightforward.
Yeah,
okay,
it is.
Thanks.
Yep, have fun. Yeah, Google.
Welcome to the 90s.
Yeah, right.
Burning CDs, yeah.
Linux does have all of the stuff that you would expect everything else to have. But you do still have to know what it's called. And that's the real trick. Knowing what program to load to do a thing is not always that easy.
So however, when he's looking for a CD ripping program, he's not going to find what he wants.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And one of the things that you can do is with the Software Center, as it's called, that Ubuntu comes with, you can usually search for stuff. So you could search for CD burner, and Bracero would come up as one of the choices. But as Steve said, if you're searching for the wrong thing, you're never going to get the right answer.
I'll address something, no place to go.
Right, exactly.
All right, we did have Sue from Greece write in.
Sue!
And it says, hi there. Link for the baseball jersey shirt on the We Got the Shirts not working. I ordered my T-shirt. See you on the 31st. Congrats, Sue from Greece.
Thanks. The baseball T-shirt link is not working? What?
That's what our loyal listener says.
You're right.
But if you use the T-shirt link, then you can order the baseball shirt.
Yeah, I'll fix that when I get home. I apologize. I do not know why that did not work. I thought I tested all of them. Look at that. The Security Tango one works. I don't know. I'll fix it. Thank you, Sue. I appreciate that. Thank you for ordering a shirt.
I sent her a thanks.
And we'll definitely see you on the 31st. It's going to be fun. We're going to have fun. I'm telling you that right now. It's going to be for those of you who tuned in late, what are we talking about? Well, as it turns out, we're coming up on our 30th anniversary. That's right. We're about to close out our 30th year of Soundbites. And we're going to have a party. It's on the 31st. Our actual anniversary is the 3rd of September, but of course, that's a Tuesday. So on the Saturday before that, we will be having our 30th anniversary party right here at the studio, at the station. It's August 31st. We'll be here. It's live during the show, noon to 2. So we'll be right here. Come and join us. We are going to have light refreshments and cake, so we would prefer if you would, we would love it if you would RSVP so we know how much cake to buy. We don't want to come up short. So please send us a response to the following email address, rsvp@jazz901.org, and give us a count of how many people you're bringing. Bring 50 of them if you want to. It's perfectly fine. That's what we like.
More the merrier.
The more the merrier. But
and we'll move the party outdoors.
And we'll move the party. Well, we'll do something. But please, we'd love to see you. And as Sue was saying, we have the 30th anniversary limited edition T-shirt. It is only going to be available till the party. Then I'm gonna pull it. It's a limited edition.
Or we could jack the price up.
We just jack the price up.
Hey, why not leave it out there?
Nobody will buy one, but I don't care.
Leave it up there because there might be some folks that missed out on it and couldn't make it here.
That's right. They still want the shirt.
Yeah, they still might want it, but
I've priced it about as low as it'll go, because I just want people to buy the shirt. I'm not interested in making a lot of money on it, but I could jack it up later. I'd be interested in making money from some point in my life. At any rate,
well, we've only been doing this for 30 years.
Exactly.
How much have we made off of it?
Exactly.
I'm still waiting for my check.
Are you? Yeah, me too. I don't know. Mine must be in the mail. Steve's getting rich. I think he's
got to be.
He's been cashing our checks.
He's buying all the high-end Macs and all that.
That's clearly how it happens, too. But at any rate, you go to wegottheshirts.com/Nick. wegottheshirts.com/Nick, and you can order your shirt, except apparently not the Raglan shirt, so I'll fix that when I get home. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. You buy the shirt, and we'll come back. See you in just a couple minutes.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Cool. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Edwards.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
Just wants everyone to know we're coming back.
Yes, we're
so
back.
So if you ran off during the sponsor break, you can hear that we're coming back.
You can
back.
Hear us from the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or the bathroom.
It's a public service, really, when you get right down to it. Look, here's the thing about these shirts. Those of you who are listening over the internet during the week, and there are many hundreds of you who do, and we're delighted that you do, so thank you to each and every one of you. But you too can buy a shirt because these are fulfilled by Amazon and they fulfill all over the world. So you should be able to buy the shirt pretty much anywhere you like. And although one of the shirts, the Marked Safe from Malware Today shirt was rejected by the UK version of Amazon. I was rejected. Why? I felt bad.
Did it say why?
No.
What'd you do to tick them off?
I have no idea. They didn't like it anyway.
Uh-huh. Something from your seedy past?
Yeah, that must be it.
It's coming to haunt you now?
That's a very long list.
Mm,
I'll tell you that right
now.
That's
what I mean.
I've told you there.
Little Francesco.
Statute of limitations hasn't gone by on some of the things I've done. Anyway, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And you will, you can get your, don't forget we're having the party on the 31st. You can get your t-shirts at wegottheshirts.com/Nick. You can sign up for new designs as they become available. You can read the privacy policy about those email addresses, And if you are one of the many people who listens during the week, hopefully you'll listen to this early. If you're going to come to the party, we would love to have you from anywhere, although it's unlikely that some of the people overseas are going to make it. But we would love to have you anyway. And if you can get it, get here. And if you can get a shirt, order it early, because like we said, although it is prime, it is a prime thing, and so it will ship fast, it takes them time to make it, because these are print on demand.
Yeah.
So it takes...
not a stocked item.
Right. I actually... should get. I don't know that I should be telling people about these, because I haven't seen one yet. Mine won't come till Monday, so my hope is that they're still very lovely things, and that they look.
Now, do these have a collar?
What's terrific? No, these are t-shirts. These are not collared shirts.
What's the weight of the cotton?
You're gonna have to wear a t-shirt for a day. Get over yourself, for Pete's sake. Just one time, get over yourself.
I like collared ones.
I understand you like collared ones. You're going to have to wear sew a collar on it, if that makes you happy.
You couldn't put one in your store.
They don't have them yet. This is a new thing. They don't have polo shirts yet. This is a very new thing. Okay. They have.
I'll wear a t-shirt.
Thank you very much. They mostly, I know. They mostly do t-shirts, and they also have one of those pop socket. Thank you. Keep wanting to say pop rivet. They have those pop sockets, which are for the back of the phone, the little thing you hold. Yes. That is the one thing I always loved about Cafe Press. We could buy a thong with your face on it.
As long as you wear it inside out.
However you're going to wear it. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jerry from Webster, New York. Hiya, Jerry. What's up?
Hi, guys. A question. I got a message the other day on my computer from Windows about doing an update for Windows 10, and it gave you an option. You could install it now or wait and do it sometime later. And I clicked the computer off, and the next day I got up, and it had already been installed. Are they doing that now just automatically?
Yeah, we actually talked about that at the top of the show.
Which option did you choose, if any?
Yeah, do it later?
Did you say do it now or do it later?
Do it later.
So it did.
And it did it later. Later being 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
But yes, what's happening is that there are three versions. There are three versions of Microsoft Windows out now: 1803, 1809, and 1903. 1803, which came out in March of 2018, actually came out in April. They're taking that off support. That will no longer be supported. And so what they're doing is forcing everyone to upgrade to 1903, which will be supported for about another 2 years. And so at least another, what did they say, 23 months or 18 months? Anyway, the point is, 1803 is no longer supported. 1809 will go off support soon, and 1903 is the new one. So what Microsoft is doing is automatically updating everyone, essentially forcing an update to 1903.
Oh, I see. One other quick question, too.
Yeah.
I have to replace a printer. My printer had died. It was an HP. And I've been on the website for HP, and some of the reviews of people that have gotten these HP printers, they're harder to install, and sometimes when they call for support to HP, they don't get as much of a good support system. Have you heard anything about that or know anything about that?
Not specifically, no. But in general, market pressure is driving prices down. And one of the things that causes is lower quality and lack of support. If I would imagine, if you look at their business line of printers, they would be a little higher quality and have more business support behind them. But you're going to pay more for them. It's almost gotten to be that printers are such a commodity price that they break and you throw it away and buy a new one. Trying to fix a broken printer is usually more expensive than just buying a new printer to begin with. unless you get one of the higher end business type printers. And that's usually based on the duty cycle. A business printer might have a duty cycle of 20 or 30,000 pages a month. Most home printers, you might not do 1,000 pages a year.
Right.
Right. Well, would that mean I should go to an inkjet printer, rather than just the inkjet types?
Generally speaking, yes. Laser jets are a little more reliable. They're a lot more cost effective. The laser toner is cheaper per print than liquid ink.
Significantly.
Yeah. Color laser is a little more expensive yet. You can get a good laser printer for $100, a decent color laser printer for about $200. Inkjet printers are $25, $30, and you break and you throw them away. With liquid ink, most of the printers are always color. It's very, very hard to find a black-only liquid ink printer anymore. So some people like that option, but very few people ever print in color. And even what we recommend for our customers who do want a color printer, get a black and white laser printer for all your regular day-to-day printing needs, and just keep your color printer for when you want to print in color. And the cost per print is so much lower that the laser works better.
What my wife does is go to the local, what is it nowadays, FedEx,
Kinko's
thing, when she wants to print color, because she does it so rarely, it's actually more cost-effective.
Right.
For her to do it that way than to maintain a color laser.
So the other danger with a liquid ink printer is if you don't use it enough, the ink will dry out in the heads and ruin the printer. And if you use it a lot, you're going to go through a lot of expensive ink very quickly.
Very expensive ink. And inkjet printers generally run if they get moist, if the paper gets wet.
Yeah, because it's liquid ink, it has to dry. Now, HP had an infrared drying element on some of their models that we really liked.
Yeah,
that would dry the ink as the paper came out, but because it's liquid ink, it will smear if the paper gets wet again.
Right,
which is another advantage of laser toner; it doesn't do that.
Right.
Well, but thank you very much.
Yeah, in basic, if all you print is black and white, an inexpensive laser printer is all you'll ever need. If you're doing color, then you have a decision to make as to which one of those you get. All right.
And it's sort of the same brands, the well-known brands, the HP, the Brother, the Epson, and then the cheaper brands are cheaper and generally may not last as long. What we found in our shop, we really like the Brother laser printers.
I have one and I love it.
They're a little bit cheaper than HP and just as good. Brother's been in the business almost as long, if not longer, than HP.
Right.
In fact, the joke was that Brother made fax machines forever. Business fax machines were almost always Brother. And then someone realized, well, a fax machine is a printer, right? Let's stick a USB port on it and sell more of them.
Let's take out some things, put in other things, and we're done.
Yep. And then Epson inkjet printers are really, really nice if you're doing color photos. They've got a couple of really neat photography printers. They've got one that's a 9-color printer, so it has a cyan, magenta, yellow, black. It also has light black and light black.
Wow.
And red, green, blue.
Wow.
And then a gloss cartridge.
Nice.
So after you print it, it can lay down gloss, which is neat. And then they also sell one for black and white photographers. It has like 4 blacks in it,
right?
Which we usually call gray. But it looks really, really nice for black and white photography. But they're more expensive printer. Right. They're in the $500-$600 range,
right?
Which is nothing.
Which used to be $2,000 for a laser jet.
Yep.
That printed slowly and only one color.
Yeah.
So For me, $500 is like, okay.
In fact, the joke is that's how I met Jackie, my current boss. I joke that she used to work for me because I met her when she was working at a computer store. We went in to play with the new color laser printer they got that was only $50,000.
Yeah.
It was a breakthrough price in color laser printing.
Yep.
And they had one to demo, so we went to play with it all the time.
But yeah, and right now, your use case determines what kind of printer you should get, and how much work you need to put into even thinking about that. For example, I only ever print once a week. I print out the news, and so I only need an inexpensive laser.
Yep.
And because I only print once a week, I don't even want an inkjet printer. So if you don't print regularly with an inkjet printer, it dries out.
Yep, and you lose it.
You lose it.
Many of the printer companies are now doing larger ink tanks. That was one of the hidden gotchas with inkjet printers. You buy an inkjet a cartridge for your inkjet printer, $10, $12, $15. There's half an ounce of ink in it.
Right.
And if somebody multiplies that out, that's $4,000 or $5,000 a gallon.
Yeah.
And so a lot of companies are now doing extended tanks. Epson has a brand they call Super Tank, which the tanks are so much larger, so that makes the cost per print lower. But they've got Shaquille O'Neal advertising for them, so they have to pay him.
Yeah. Which means you're paying him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the ink tanks are much bigger. And a lot of the printers now will have a larger black cartridge than the colors.
Right.
Because most of the time you are going to print just in black and white.
Right. If all you ever print is black and white, don't pay for a color printer. I'm serious. Don't pay for it. You're never going to use those colors. And eventually it's going to clog up and cause a problem. Again, if you print black and white, a laser printer is a much better option. It's a little more expensive to buy the printer, but in the long run, it's much, much, much cheaper for the toner than it is for the ink. The ink is probably the most expensive liquid you will ever in your life buy, yep. Ever.
I was at a customer site once working on a computer, and he was printing a sign on his plotter. You know, he had a 36-inch wide printer, and literally had gallon ink jugs for it. And he was like 4 or 5 feet into the print. And there was a font substitution, so he had to cancel it and start over again. So he just wasted 4 feet of ink and paper. And then he was like 4 feet into it again, and the paper ran out.
Ouch! You didn't check before?
No. Because so then as he's changing the paper roll, I said, you better check those ink tanks.
Yeah,
you don't want to do this again.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get a bubble in your ink.
Right.
In the line.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then start all over again.
We had another customer that they were a trade show company, and so they would print 300 or 400 signs for a trade show.
Yep.
And they used to have a 36-inch wide printer, and they printed 6-foot by 10-foot signs, so they had to do two strips on their 36-inch three-foot wide printer, and it took about 6 to 7 hours to print one sign. So we sold them a new printer that was 54 inches wide, so they actually went a little bit smaller. It used solid ink. We used to call those crayon jets.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of liquid ink, it was solid ink, and it came in hockey puck-sized things of ink.
Yeah, right. They were cool.
And they could print a sign in half an hour.
Yeah.
So they went from a six-month lead time to a six-week lead time, because instead of 6 hours per print, it was now half an hour per print. Right. But they still had to feed the printer every 6 or 7 hours of ink.
Oh yeah.
So they were mad because they couldn't let it run overnight because it would run out of ink in the middle of the night.
Right.
Well, okay, fine.
Get a second printer.
Yeah. Well, and what was interesting is how much? I think that was only, 20 years ago. It was probably a $50,000 printer.
Right.
But yeah, it was 54 inch wide. You could put a 100-foot roll on it and just say print, print, print. And every few hours, you drop another four pucks of each color ink into it.
And those wax deposition printers didn't run if they got wet.
Yep. Although they did have a problem, you couldn't fold them.
Right.
But when you're making signs, you roll up a sign anyway.
You roll it. And that works. So what printer you want and what you intend to do with it. Like I said, I have a Brother printer. It was a tad less expensive than an HP. And it's done yeoman service for me. It's been wonderful. I run everything through it. My wife runs labels through it. Again, we just...
as we found out last week when there were still labels in the printer.
When there was the labels in the printer. And I printed out one of the news stories on a label thing. Yep. So which printer you have and how you use it. I really would like a color laser printer for my wife, some of the stuff she does. And those aren't terribly expensive anymore. Comparatively, they're just not. And
one thing we've seen is printers are getting physically smaller.
Right.
So now even laser printers, you used to get 5,000 or 6,000 prints out of a toner cartridge. Now you might get 1,500.
Right.
Because the cartridges are smaller.
Right.
So actually, the cost per print has gone up a little bit. because now the cartridges are smaller, but it's still much lower than liquid ink.
Right.
Of course, if you do want a high quality photographic laser printer, you're going to be in the couple $1,000 range.
Well, right. It depends on your use case, and if you want that high quality photorealistic look, then you're willing to pay for it because it's the thing you need. I get that.
If you're an advertising agency or whatever,
right.
Your work depends upon it.
Or you're a photographer and you're doing that. Sort of, absolutely. That makes sense. But you're in now. That's a business decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not a person decision, right? So, you know, as a person, I might not want to spend more than $100 for a printer. But if I'm a business, then $1,500, $2,000, depending on my business, doesn't sound like a lot.
And especially when you divide that by the 5 or 10 or 20 employees that are going to be printing to it.
Right.
Yeah. It's all driven by your need and, you know, what your business demands. Yep. You know, if you need that color to make it an impression, to make a sale or anything else, mm-hmm. you know, that's where it's going to drive it. But, you know, for home use, no.
And the other big jump is if you want to go to 11 by 17 paper.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is handy because then you can print 2 8.5 by 11s, cut it in half, or even do a double-sided.
Some sort of folding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's lots of choices out there, and you pay depending on what it is that you intend to get.
Pay by your needs.
Yep. Yeah.
And they get physically bigger. We had a customer last week wanted a color laser all-in-one print, copy, scan, fax, but he didn't like how big it was.
Yeah.
Well, you put all that features in it, and it's going to be that big.
There's going to be some room there that needs to be taken up.
Takes up some real estate. Hello?
Yeah, take off the
fax. It's still smaller than probably if he had gotten it 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you had that copier function on it and then the auto sheet feeder. used to be the Apple Color Laser Writer. You could put the auto sheet feeder. You could put 6 paper trays on it. And it was like 6 feet tall when it was done.
Yep.
And the shorter people had trouble reaching the output tray.
I remember those days. All right, that's it. That music tells us that we've wasted another couple of hours of our lives all together here with this show. I want to thank everyone who called in. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow. It's 55 minutes after the hour. Listen, don't forget, pick up your T-shirt soon at wegottheshirts.com/Nick because it takes a while for you to get them. And that shirt is limited edition. It's going to go away after the anniversary. So get your shirt now, and we'll see you RSVP, and we will see you on the 31st. Be good to one another this week. Will you? See you in 166 hours.